Mr. Mayor, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today.
Sure, great to be here, Corinne. I hope you're well.
I am well, and I hope you are as well. I'm sure all of our listeners know that during the winter holidays, you found out that you tested positive for COVID. How are you doing?
I'm doing much better, much improved. I tell people I'm one of the lucky ones. It wasn't very debilitating for me. What I'm dealing with now is just ongoing fatigue, but even that's getting better. So I am I'm grateful for all the well wishes from people. I haven't gotten back to everybody yet. But I think what it does, it illustrates how communicable this is. I early on understood that it was up to me to set a good example in the community. And I wore my mask everywhere. We took great pains in City Hall to minimize the possibility of transmission. As I reflect back on the week or two before I tested positive, I cannot find a single incident where I could have caught this. But somewhere along the line, I let my guard down momentarily. So I think the lesson for people is just assume everybody you meet is infected and just act accordingly. It doesn't matter whether they're a stranger, your friend, or your family. Just act as though they're infected and take all precautions all the time.
Well, it's quite an end for a momentous year of 2020.
That was some year, wasn't it?
It was. Reflecting back on the year, what are just a few of the things that mark the year for you?
Well, you know, despite the way the pandemic dominated our thinking and our actions as a community, we got a lot done. It certainly wasn't what I had anticipated or even hoped to get done this year, but nonetheless, we were able to keep the city staff relatively healthy, probably better than average. So that allowed us to continue services. There were some hiccups. You know, we did have some people get sick and we lost some staffing and some things took longer than we would have liked. But by and large, you know, we did maintain city services pretty well. We got some projects completed and we've got planning underway on additional projects as well. And then of course we had the rally in downtown Troy back in June, which went off well. And I continue to give kudos to everybody involved in that. That was I don't know if we spoke after that, but that was a pretty remarkable day. I may have told you I went downtown the Sunday, the following, thinking, okay, I'll help clean up Riverfront Park after yesterday's events. And I got around, I couldn't find a piece of litter on the ground. So people really stepped up. They gathered, they did it respectfully. And then we'd have, within the police department, we've made a lot of progress. We'll be talking more about that in the not too distant future. Now we're pulling together the dates and meeting times for the governor's Reimagine Collaborative. That's coming together. Everything, of course, in government takes longer than you would like it to take. And everything during a pandemic takes longer than you would like it to take. But the point is we kept steady progress. We kept putting one foot in front of the other. So it wasn't quite the year we were anticipating 12 months ago at this time, but we got through it and we made some progress.
We didn't actually talk after the Black Lives Matter rally in downtown Troy. And if we had, I would have asked you what a lot of people, I think, at the time were asking, which was, why was there such fear of what could have happened in downtown Troy? I'm recalling the boarded up businesses and the murals, and there was some sense that leadership like yourself could have come out and said, you know, this is no time to panic. This is no time to fear our neighbors who are just simply asking for justice. What's your response to that?
Well, yeah, we struggled over that in a number of meetings. And what should we say to business owners? We didn't fear the people that were coming out to peacefully protest. But the business owners did fear what they saw in Albany that followed the protests and the damage. And they were, and they're still hanging on by a thread because of the pandemic. So did they overreact in retrospect? I think everybody would say yes. At the time, though, I had to respect their own judgment in the matter. And while I was speaking to people individually, saying, you know, that encouraging people to participate in the event, I couldn't say to them in good conscience, don't be afraid, because I didn't know who was coming in on the heels of the protest. So they had to make judgment, and they did that. And I thought initially it was disappointing and might have been interpreted as you are not welcome here. But then when people started doing artwork on the boards, it became an event in and of itself. So it was a tough call. I didn't want to tell people that nothing was going to happen because, frankly, I didn't know. I didn't know who came into Albany after the peaceful part of the protest concluded. I didn't know if they were coming to Troy. I didn't know what the intentions were. But the Black Lives Matter movement, the people that I know in the community that were out there, I trusted them. And in fact, I did put out a communication to the public encouraging people to participate on that day.
Looking forward to 2021, Mr. Mayor, I'm thinking about a conversation that we had shortly after everything shut down, and we talked about whether this was sort of a death knell for small cities. What are the city's prospects for 2021? We've lost a lot of business, a lot of revenue.
We have.
What are your thoughts for the coming year?
Well, I'm still very nervous. I'm of the school that feels that the worst isn't over yet, that with the increasing numbers that we see on a daily basis, that things are going to get worse yet. And, you know, everybody's delighted to hear that there's a couple of vaccine candidates that are working well and maybe more to come. But I'm mindful of, and we see that in the early stages of the rollout, I'm mindful of the time that it's going to take to get the vaccines in the arms of people. And I am very concerned about our small businesses. I'm very concerned about our residents who don't have jobs to go to, who are struggling with rent and food payments. I'm concerned about the kids and, you know, whether the schools are going to end up shut down again. And I'm concerned about the impact on our revenue. So we're not out of the woods yet, and we may have turned a year into 2021. And there may be a light at the end of the tunnel, but we've got a ways to travel before we get to that light. And we're doing everything we can to hold it together, to provide assistance to youth programs, provide assistance to small businesses. We're trying to be optimistic, trying to be creative, trying to be quick. But I do acknowledge we've got some tough days ahead of us yet. And the one thing that gives me hope is the creativeness of the residents and businesses in Troy in surviving through this economic morass. And I'm hoping that creativity can continue to flourish and keep businesses going, keep kids occupied. It sure would be a lot easier if we had a federal government who cared about localities and cared about the average person. But it's just, I don't have adequate words to describe my disappointment with Washington about the cavalierness with which they've treated localities and consequently the residents of communities that are impacted. It's just, it's beyond words.
Well, change is on the way.
I sure hope so. I sure hope that, you know, however the runoffs go in January, that maybe cooler heads will prevail in the new year, and that we can work together and recognize that the depth of the pain that people are feeling. I don't want to see this become a generational drag. We can get through this if we put the politics aside and, to use an overused phrase, understand and act like we really are all in this together.